ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां अस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। सो लास्ट क्लास वी रेड इट इन फर्स्ट चैप्टर फोर्थ ब्राह्मणम विद द 10th मंत्र। सो देयर बिफोर this mahavakyam aham brahma asmi comes, there's a statement that before brahman alone was there, before the jnanam rises, before the knowledge takes place, what was there as the jiva, as an aspiring jiva, was none other than Brahma. So Brahman alone was there before the knowledge rises. Brahman alone is there after the knowledge rises also. So before jnanam, what was Brahman. After jnanam, what is Brahman. But before jnanam, Brahman had the name Jivaha. After the name, after the knowledge, then the Jiva gets the name Brahma. What does it mean then? What was Brahma? What is Brahma? There is a status, temporary status attributed to Brahma before the jnanam when there was ignorance. In jnanam, that temporary qualification, jiva status goes and the real nature of being Brahman is taken ownership of. Idam Brahmai Vasit Idam Agre. Idam means this Brahman alone was there before as the jiva. Therefore, this word agre means before the jnanam was also there was Brahman. After also is there is Brahman. Which means there is no such thing called jiva at all. This very statement already reveals jivatma, jiva brahma aikyam. Already it reveals the oneness of jiva and brahma. Therefore, the question arose, if we say after jnanam jiva becomes Brahman, means thereby one there is a Brahman. Jiva becoming Brahman means not really becoming Brahman. Resolving the jiva status, taking ownership of the self being already Brahman is becoming Brahman here. And thereby what happens? One becomes everything also. Sarvam bhavati, sarvatma bhavaha. By knowing Brahman, not only one becomes Brahman, one also becomes everything. In that context, the question was raised, what was that a Brahman knew by knowing which Brahman became everything? So the three answers were given. No, definitely Brahman did not know anything other than itself. Or Brahman, you know, did not know anything else, not true. Brahman by knowing itself became everything. Brahman by knowing itself became everything. And how when Brahman discovers itself, what does it discover? Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the self, am Brahman. By discovering itself, Brahman becomes everything. So the Mahavakyam comes before even going into the Anupamatta Mahavakyam. And last class we saw how Shankar Bhagavatpada had to clarify some doubts. It is for our clarity, he answers the doubts, possible doubts raised by another person, another Vaidika called Bhartru Prapanchaha. Last class I said few things. It might have been clear, might not have been clear, doesn't matter. I make it very clear today. See, the three important things we have to remember here. See, Bhartru Prapanchaha, even though he is a Vaidikaha, when I say Vaidikaha, the person who has faith in the Veda, who accepts the Veda as the Pramana. But his views are different. Like any other Vaidika, there's so many other people, philosophers, who also accept the Veda, but they have a completely different view. The understanding, the interpretation is very limited. So here Bhartru Prapanchaha is not a person who is given to logic. For him, Veda is the Pramanam. Therefore, Shankar Bhagavatpada, only by quoting Veda mantras, he answers his questions. And we don't need to go into the details, but we can understand what actually is present, what is the view of Bhartru Prapanchaha and how Shankara refutes his views. That much we need to see here. So here, Bhartru Prapanchaha says, Jivaha is different from Brahma. Jiva is different from Brahma. But what does Shankara say? Jiva is non-separate from Brahma. Jiva is already Brahma. Jiva is only a qualification attributed to Brahma when in ignorance. That is what Shankara says. But what does Bhartru Prapancha say? Jiva is different from Brahma. First thing. And the second point what he says is, this Jiva knows Brahman. After knowing Brahman, this Jiva becomes Brahman. That is his second view. Whose view? Bhartru Prapancha's view. First he says Jiva is different from Brahma is the first view. And this Jiva, being different from Brahma, knows Brahman, which is other than itself. By knowing Brahman, this Jiva becomes Brahma. Second point. And thereby, by knowing Brahman, the Jiva becomes everything. By knowing Brahma, Jiva becomes everything. These are the three views of Bhartru Prapancha. It means, Jiva after knowing Brahman, Jivaha after knowing Brahman becomes everything, means attains moksha. So these are the three viewpoints. And Shankara says, what Shankara says here is, Jiva, if Jiva is different from Brahma, and if Jiva attains self-knowledge, gains self-knowledge, the knowledge cannot be called Brahma Vidya, the knowledge should be called Jiva Vidya. Isn't it? If Jiva attains the self-knowledge, if Jiva is different from Brahma, the knowledge that Jiva attains is what? Jiva Vidya, not Brahma Vidya. It cannot be called Brahma Vidya. So first point is refuted. And the second aspect, if Jiva becomes Brahman after knowing Brahman, and thereby attains moksha. The moksha which comes newly, isn't it? which will not stay forever. which will not be permanently there. Anything attained newly will go. That moksha will be temporary freedom. It's not worth attaining. And the third thing, if Jiva Vidya itself gives him moksha, just by knowing the attaining the self knowledge of Jiva attains moksha, Jiva being different from Brahman, then why should Upanishad talk about Brahma Vidya? Then Brahma Vidya will be of no use. Brahma Vidya will be redundant. If Jiva Vidya self knowledge itself gives freedom for Jiva, if self knowledge itself gives freedom for Jiva, why does Jiva need Brahma Vidya then? So Brahma Vidya will be useless. So Brahma Vidya will be redundant. Then what happened? The whole Shruti's teaching also is useless. Why should Shruti say something? Brahma Vida apnoti param. Why should Veda Upanishad say, knower of Brahman attains moksha? It means Shruti's teaching also is redundant. And Brahman, knowing Brahman also not, Brahma Vidya is also will be of no use. Because Jiva, by knowing itself, becomes Brahman, attains moksha means, Jiva Vidya is enough, doesn't need Brahma Vidya. These are the problems in Bhartu Prapancha's views. Well, is it clear now? Therefore, then the Bhartu Prapancha's doubt comes. What important doubt, I think last class I left you towards the end. Is it clear now? Until now, it must be very clear. Okay, definitely it is not Jiva Vidya. It is Brahma Vidya. Jiva is non-separate from Brahman. Jiva is only a name attributed to Brahman in ignorance. After Jnanam, Jiva's status will resolve. Brahman will be there without the Jiva status. And no, Brahman itself is moksha. Brahman and moksha are not two different things. Knowing Brahman itself is no attainment of moksha. They are identical. Therefore, Brahman being eternal, moksha attained also will be eternal. Moksha doesn't come and go. Moksha is already there. Moksha is permanent because moksha is Swarupam of Brahman. And Brahman is permanent, eternal. Therefore, moksha is eternal. Moksha is not attained. Moksha is discovered. And moksha is, in fact, Jiva, the one who discovers the moksha, takes ownership of moksha as one's own real nature, seeing oneself being Brahman. This is the actual teaching. Therefore, and the doubt comes, if Jiva is already Brahma, then who is the one who was ignorant? Who is the one who wanted to know? Who is the one who was aspiring for Jnanam and Moksha? Who attains Jnanam? And who attains this Moksha? Who is it one attains? Who was ignorant? Which means if Jiva is Brahma, and if there was ignorance, there was bondage, who was the one who was bound? It is his big doubt for Bhartu Prapancha. He feels bad to say Brahman was bound. Brahman was ignorant. Brahman was ajnani. Brahman was aspiring. Brahman was just miserably searching for jnana. How can you say that? Very difficult for him to accept. And Shankara has to say very quietly, yes. The one, Brahman was not anything. The one who was ignorant was Brahman. The one who wanted to know was Brahman. The one who discovered Brahman was Brahman. The one who attained moksha is also Brahman. One who becomes free from bondage is Brahman. One who was samsari was Brahman. One who was bound was Brahman. Yes, everything was Brahman. There's no doubt about it. Then the question is, which means, what is Brahma Swarupam? Brahman is of the nature of all effulgent knowledge, self effulgence, Swayam Prakashakam Brahma, Swayam Prakashakaha Atma. Brahman is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, you know, ever self effulgence. We say all these words. We only hear about Brahman as Jnanam, Jnanam, Jnanam. So if Brahman is all knowledge, and now how can we say that Brahman, there was ignorance on the part of Brahman? Which means, if you say the one who was ignorant was Brahman, which means the ignorance is located in Brahman. So Brahman is not only Jnana Ashrayaha, Jnana Vishayaha. Brahman is also what? Ajnana Ashrayaha. Brahman is Ajnana Ashrayaha. Brahman is also what? Ignorance is located in Brahman. How can we say this? You know, how can we say? Yes, we can say. Shankara gives a beautiful answer. Now, what is the answer? See, ignorance cannot be on the part of an inert thing. Ignorance cannot be located on an inert thing. Isn't it? Ignorance is possible only on the part of a conscious being. If ignorance is there on the part of all the inert things, and the ignorance can be removed. If inert thing also is ignorant, and that ignorance must be removable. And for removing ignorance of the inert things, all the inert things also should be sent to schools and colleges. Isn't it? When the teacher speaks to the student, desk also will reply. Answer. Which means ignorance is not there. Location of ignorance is not an inert thing. Location of the ignorance is only a conscious being. Therefore, definitely, ignorance is what? Ignorance also is not outside of Brahman. Locus of ignorance is also Brahman only. Don't need to feel bad about it. Okay? And the very fact that ignorance is known because of Brahma. Isn't it? Ignorance is known because of Brahma. Ignorance is where? Ignorance also is in Brahman only. Therefore, and ignorance is resolved also where? In the same Brahma. Therefore, yes. The ashraya for jnanam is Brahma. Jnanam is Brahma. And this jnanam Brahma is ashraya for ajnanam. Ignorance is also answered. Now the next question is, the biggest question is, there is something called most important law, kartru karma virodha. If we say Brahman was Jiva and Jiva knew itself, which is Brahma, which means Brahman is the knower of Brahman. Brahman is the one to be known. Subject is also Brahma. Object is also Brahma. Knower is also Brahma. The known is also Brahma. Isn't it? So, are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you all following? If we say Jiva is Brahma already, and Jiva knows Brahman means, Jiva knows its own self means, so we say what? The knower is also Brahma. The one who is known is also Brahma. If Jiva is non-separate from Brahma, Jiva is already Brahma, the one, the knower Jiva is Brahma. The known Brahman is also Brahma. The subject and object both are Brahma. The problem now is, there is a defect. Kartru karma virodha. Kartru karma virodha. Kartru karma virodha. Which means, how can the subject be the object of knowledge? It's always said, the subject can never become the object. An object can never become the subject. The subject will always be the subject. Object will always be the object. Subject cannot become the object. Object cannot become the subject. It is called kartru karma virodha. How can subject be the object? And second thing, how can Brahman know itself? And here Shankara says, yes, even though we say Brahma Jnanam, the knower is definitely Brahma, no doubt. Even though we say Brahman knows itself, there, knowing is not like knowing something, another object. If I say, I know this means I am the subject, what is known by me is an object. Always object is different from subject, can never be the same. When we say Brahman knows itself, then knowing is not like knowing any other object. Knowing here is only resolution of the superimposition of anatma upon the atma. Okay, Brahman knowing means not Brahman can know itself. Brahman can never be the object of knowledge. Brahman can never become the object of knowledge. Brahman knows itself means there the word verb knowing does not mean actually like knowing any other object. Knowing here means resolution of the superimposition of anatma and the anatma's attributes upon Brahman. Anatma dharma adhyaropa nivrittihi. Anatma dharma adhyaropa nivrittihi is jnanam. Is not like knowing something else. Brahman knowing itself does not mean like knowing any other object. Brahman knowing itself means Brahman is not known as an object. Brahman, the reality implied by the Brahman is arrived at as the truth of the knower. And thereby all the wrong notions superimposed upon Brahman. And the superimposition of anatma and its attributes upon Brahman only is eliminated. So elimination, resolution, removal of the superimposition of anatma and its attributes upon Brahman alone is what? Ajnana nivrittihi. It's called jnana praptihi. It is not like knowing one thing, knowing another thing. Is it clear? Therefore, Brahman does not know itself. Brahman cannot know itself. Brahman need not know itself. You know why? In the very beginning I told you, the eyes can see the whole world. But if the eyes have to see themselves, they need a mirror to how the eyes look. Eyes can only see the reflection. Eyes can never see the original eyes. Similarly, when you say, if you ask who is the knower, Brahman is not even the knower. The knower is Brahman. Brahman is not even the known, but the known is Brahman. The knower known difference is, Brahman is free from the difference. The knower is Brahman, known is Brahman, knower known difference is in Brahman. Everything is in Brahman, Brahman is free from everything. So Brahman need not know itself, cannot know itself, does not know itself. But here when you say Brahmavit means Paramapnoti, when you say, or Brahman by knowing itself. This Brahman alone was there as Jiva in the beginning, in ignorance. The Jiva is only a temporary qualification attributed to Brahma from the standpoint of the ignorance, in ignorance. And after Jnanam, the Jiva does not become Brahma. Jiva resolves its identity with Brahma. Jiva takes ownership of its real nature being already Brahma, itself being Brahma. The Jivatvam is resolved. That's all. And here, when you say knows, Brahman knows means, there is a second thing. The known thing must be, if you say Brahman knows, it's the known thing must be other than Brahma. There will be second thing. The known must be different from the knower. The duality will be there. So Brahman does not know itself here. Knowing does not know as an object. It's not like no, it's not, knowing is not an action here. So knowing here means actually resolving all the wrong notions superimposed upon the Brahman. And the resolution of the Anatma and its attributes superimposed upon Brahman. So Anatma, Anatma Dharma, Adhyaropa Nivrittihi is Jnanam. What is Jnanam? Knowledge attained here is not like the knowledge attained of anything else. Knowledge attained here implies the resolution, removal, the elimination of the wrong notions superimposed upon the Brahman as Jiva, okay? And also the superimposition of Anatma and its attributes upon Brahma. Suppose now when you say the ocean is, you mistake the ocean as reality. As when there is ignorance of the water, you look at the ocean as reality. Because you see only ocean with all its waves, ocean is capable of drawing your attention. See, the ocean is capable of drawing its attention, all attention towards itself. Ocean with all its plurality of waves, multiplicity of waves, movement of waves, ocean draws all attention totally for itself. Attention is totally paid to the ocean with its waves. Attention being not available for water, water does not exist for you. Simple fact. Do you get what I'm saying? Water does not exist for you if the water does not draw your attention. If the water does not draw your attention, water will lose its existence. Even though water is the reality. Which means water doesn't lose existence. Water does not exist for you. Water is, even though water is the reality, water does not exist for you when water does not draw your attention. But the water does not draw your attention when your attention is totally grabbed by waves and devotion. Simple fact. Then afterwards what happens? Somebody else comes and tells you, you are so engrossed in seeing only the waves and ocean water. Come on, there is something called water. Okay, something helps you to shift your attention from the wave ocean form to the water. Your attention is taken to the water. Now your attention is taken away from the, and see how water is the reality. And then when you see the water, without taking attention away from the waves and ocean also, seeing the water, you can see the fact of what? Only water. Only water. You have not done anything there. What happened? You have resolved the waves and the ocean cognitively in the water, in spite of experiencing, in spite of seeing, you have resolved the waves and the ocean in the water. You say, very relaxed, you say, what is only water. So here, you have not done anything. Only the, before you had a notion, ocean was real. After seeing the water, you have not done anything. You are still seeing the same water. Before also you are seeing the water. Now also you are seeing the water. Before you are seeing the water, but you are not seeing the water. You are not seeing the water. So before you were holding on to the view, what you were seeing in the form of waves and ocean was water only. But you had a view that ocean is real. Ocean was real, was your view. And after seeing the water, you still see the same water. Before you were seeing water in the form of ocean and waves, not knowing you were seeing the water. Now in knowledge, after jnanam, when you see the water, you still see the waves and ocean. But at the same time, you see your view has changed. Ocean is not real anymore. Water is the reality. The ocean is not real. Waves are not real. What have you done now? The view has been changed. The view has been changed. Your notion is changed. It's called perspective change, isn't it? Perspective alone changes. What is real was not known before. What is not real is mistaken to be real first. After the knowledge, what is real is very clear. What is not real is not there. We're very clear. The perspective changes. Similarly here also, before ajnanam, in your perception, there is jiva, there is jagat. There's a jiva jagat bheda. Before jnanam, there's a jiva, there's a jagat. Jiva is real, jagat is real. And the jiva jagat bheda is also real. How long? As long as ajnanam is in ignorance. And there, what is real, the underlying only reality, without which there cannot be jiva, there cannot be jagat, there cannot be even this difference, that reality does not draw your attention. Why? Because the whole attention is drawn, grabbed, held by this world of plurality, everything. Therefore, the experiences, the world is very real for you. The world is real. The plurality is real. Multiplicity is real. Divisions are real. Differences are real. And then, aham jivaha, this jagat, I am different from this jagat, I am different from Brahma. That difference is also what? Very real. When it's very real. How long is that? As long as ajnanam is there. Now, Shastram comes in between. And the Shastram, through the Guru's words, comes, makes you see differently. Come on, there's something different. And that is something without which there cannot be Jiva, there cannot be Jagat, there cannot be knower, there cannot be the known, there cannot be the knower known division, difference, there cannot be duality. That because of which one presence of one thing, this duality is possible. That is what is Brahma. When you see, and it helps to see from the standpoint of Brahma, then your attention is taken away from the Jagat to gradually you are carefully, attention is taken from Jagat to Jiva Swarupam. Jiva Swarupam. The standpoint of the Swarupam of Jiva, which is another than this reality, you understand what? How Brahman is real and the Jagat is, there's no Jagat, Jiva, other than Brahma. Jagat and Jiva are only temporary names attributed to Brahma from the standpoint of two different standpoints. So where is the knower? Where is the known? When you want to arrive at that fact, can you say Brahma knows? Can you say Brahma knows? It's very subtle teaching. Hope you understand. If you don't understand, don't worry. Next class it will become clear. And following class it should become clear. When Shastram helps you see what is, this in this knowledge is a second thing that is known other than Brahma. It is not like when the realm of the relative world, objective world, which is I am the knower, the world is known by me, I am the knower, he is known, he is the knower, she is known, the knower known difference. No. It is not like this here. In when question of Brahman, when you say, when you're discovering this Brahman, you understand the knower is Brahma, that's fine. The known is also Brahma, you understand. But what you understand is, this knowing is nothing but elimination, resolution of anatma, anatma's attributes superimposed upon Brahma. Like after discovering the water, when you say, mistaking the ocean as reality is what? Superimposition of ocean. Taking the ocean for reality is superimposition of ocean upon the reality called water. Understand what is superimposition? Before knowing what is water, you mistake the ocean to be the reality. There is ocean which are experiencing. You cannot deny. Based on your experience, based on your perception, you are not a fool. Because you are experiencing, you are perceiving, you are enjoying it. Therefore, based on your experience alone, you make a conclusion, ocean is real. Ocean is real. Why? I'm experiencing it. The waves are real and the differences are real. It's all what now? Ocean. When you say it is real, what is real? What is not real? What is as though it is taken for reality means it's called superimposition. And what adhyaropaha? Adhyaropaha means superimposition means mistaking what is not real to be real is what? Superimposition. Adhyaropa. And how long that what is not real is taken to be real? As long as you do not know what is real. Once you discover what is real, because what is real is not away from what is not real. The subtle point of today's teaching is this. What is real is not away from what is not real. What is real is not away from what is not real. I've got to help you to come to the point. The division is not, subject object division is not possible. That's why I want to tell you. What is real is not away from what is not real. The water is not far away from ocean, the form, name and function ocean. But still for you, the form and function ocean is very real. Why? Because there is ignorance of what is real. Ignorance of this water. And with the help of some wise person who stands next to you and your attention is gradually shifted from all the wave forms, all the ocean form to the substance called water. And you are helped to see the water. You are helped to see the water. When you see the water, and from the standpoint of water, you see what? There is no ocean. There are no waves. But what does it mean? Really, there is no wave or ocean. There's only water. And this is called perspective change. Okay? Perspective change. Now, when you say, then for you, what is real is water. And the ocean and waves, which you happen to still experience, is what? As though real. It's called what? Resolution of, elimination of, removal of, isn't it? Superimposition. Where was it superimposed? You know, superimposition of ocean upon the water. When I say upon the water, not different, isn't it? Superimposition of ocean and wave upon the water. After seeing the water, what is resolved is the superimposition of ocean and wave upon the water. And thereby, the mithya, that is resolved. It is removed as what? Mithya. Is negated cognitively as mithya. The superimposition is resolved. Now tell me, between the water and the ocean, is there subject-object division? There's no division, isn't it? What happened now is, the only superimposition of ocean upon the water is resolved. It's called what now? Adhyaropa nivrittihi eva jnanam. You see, very difficult to give an example for this. I have to give some object as an example here. Adhyaropa nivrittihi is jnanam. Resolution of, removal of, elimination of, all the words are difficult words. Resolution of adhyaropa, superimposition of ocean upon the water is what? Knowledge of water. Okay, similarly, now you come to this. Here, what is Brahman? That is you, yourself. You are Brahman here. When I say you are Brahman, this Jiva, the knower, who is this knower? This Jiva, the knower, is Brahma already. But you do not know. Why? You do not see yourself. You see what now? You see only the Jagat. You see the body. You see the mind. You see the emotions. You see the feelings. You see the external world. The whole Jagat you are seeing. And then this Jagat is what? You see the differences, you see the multiplicity, you see the plurality, the whole Jagat is real. So taking this universe with all its differences and divisions, when you say universe, you have to include your dearest body, minds and complex, okay? We take this universe to be real. We take the differences to be real. Nothing wrong. They're not unreal. That's the problem. The unreal means you don't need to break your head like this. They're not unreal. But they are not real also. But what is not real? This universe is not real. The jiva is not, status is not real. When you say universe, jagat, you have to include your body, objective universe. Objective universe means what? The entire body, mind and complex is objective universe, which is like the ocean. Okay? And who is subject here? Who is the knower of this jagat? The knower of jagat is like water. The consciousness. Now we say, this objective universe, including your body, mind and complex, with all its differences and which is available for experience and enjoyment, therefore which is taken to be reality. You have made a conclusion, the whole jagat is real. The differences are real. Already conclusion, a very strong conclusion, and you have used your buddhi. The conclusion is purely based on your perception and experience. Because that's why you cannot deny your experience. If I deny your experience, it will cause great pain to you. You know, it will cause great pain. That is true. Upanishad, no, doesn't want to hurt us. Shruti Mata. No, when the mother gives you bitter honey, bitter medicine, take you, hi, come here, takes you on your hand and cuddles you and then fondles you and backstrokes you and gives some sugar and honey in your mouth, makes you laugh, then suddenly she'll put bitter medicine to your mouth, isn't it? That's what the mother does. Before giving bitter medicine, any mother is very, even the means, but still bitter medicine she has to give. And she has to make you feel very good and then nice and then give you some honey, give you chocolate, get you close, hold you tight and give you bitter medicine. The same way Shruti also does the same thing, okay? When you say the whole jagat I'm perceiving, based on my perception conclusion, perception, my conclusion, the jagat is real, jiva is real, jiva jagat bheda is real, I am different from jagat is real. All this is what? What is not real is taken to be real. When what is not real is taken to be real, where does this non-real thing exist? That is what is the reality. The locus, the substratum, the substance in which, without which this non-real thing cannot exist at all, is the reality, isn't it? Therefore, the non-real being mistaken, non-real means mithya, okay? Not unreal. The non-real thing, which is based on a perception, is taken, being taken to be the reality, is called adhyaropaha, superimposition. And when you take something non-real for reality, it is superimposition upon what? The reality. Non-real being mistaken for reality is the superimposition upon the reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, I'm sure you're understanding. Now, Shruti tells, accepts our perception without denying our experience and perception, accepting our view also based on our perception. And Shruti tells us something bitter, very nice. You know, what you think is real is not really real. Okay, how do you say? Come on, there's another standpoint. I'll show you. Come to that point, viewpoint. And Upanishad gradually helps us understand, distinguishes this I and makes us see this I. See, this, who is this knower? Who is the knower? Who is the knower of this? Who is the knower of this known? Who is the knower of the known? The knower is formless reality, the consciousness, Brahma. And from there, it has to understand, it is this Brahma, is not the knower. Brahman is not the knower. Brahman is not the known also. But there cannot be knower or known without the Brahma. This no reality, from the standpoint of the reality, the consciousness implied by the term Brahma, there's no knower, there's no known. There's only Brahma. From the standpoint of water, there's no wave, there's no ocean, there's only water. From which standpoint? From the standpoint of the abstract reality, the consciousness, implied the term Brahma, there's only Brahma. There's no knower, there's no known. But what about knower and known? The experience is there. Yes, relatively there. But what is relatively real, what is empirically real, what is objectively real, is mistaken to be absolutely real. It is called superimposition. Okay? Therefore, this what is known is anatma, the knower is atma. The knower status is also mithya here. Now, what is to be known, said to be known, you resolve. Okay? It's only superimposition. After seeing the water, how you resolve the ocean and the waves and the difference, everything. Cognitively in the water, you say just what is only water. And you see, look at it as mithya. Now here also from the standpoint of Brahman, the reality, you can say what? And then you can say the knower status is resolved. The superimposition of anatma into this being mistaken to be reality. Superimposition of anatma, anatma dharmas. All the wrong your perspectives, wrong perception, all wrong notions. That the world is real is a notion. World is real is a notion. That knower is real is a notion. The knower status is real is a notion. The knower known difference is real is a notion. All the differences are real is a notion, the perception. So it's all, so this is a resolution of the perception of, resolution of the superimposition of anatma. Resolution of superimposition of anatma. You resolve the superimposition. Resolving superimposition means what? Resolving the notion that this world is real. Resolving the notion that the world is real is resolution of superimposition of anatma. Is it clear? Resolve. And this is called jnanam. Okay? This is what is called jnanam. I'm sure I have made very clear in my understanding. If I have not made it very clear, I'm sorry, I will redo it. I'll make you feel bored again next class. Okay? The thing is, I want you to understand the subtle thing. There is no such a thing called Brahman. Brahman knows itself when we say there is no subject-object division. Because subject can never become the object. Object can never become the subject. It is not like in relative world when something knows, something is known. Brahman knowing itself is not like, Brahman is not like, not like knowing in a given subject, knowing another object. It is only resolution of superimposition of anatma upon the atma. superimposition of word upon Brahma. It's called Jnanam here. You know, there's no kartru karma virodha in saying Brahman knows itself. That expression, there's no kartru karma virodha. Know why such an important thing? The whole Vedantic teaching is based, subject is different from object. It's very important thing. Subject is different from object is very important lesson in Vedanta. So subject and object cannot be the same. In fact, the entire Vedantic teaching is developed on this basic idea, basic fact. The subject can never be the object. The whole teaching is developed on this law. Subject can never be the object. Object can never be the subject. They're different. Therefore, now if we say Brahman is subject, Brahman is the object. Therefore, Bhatru Prapancha is very happy. Very good. Let me catch hold of you. Know why? The whole Vedantic teaching, you start, begin the teaching from subject-object analysis. And the whole teaching is based on what? This law. There's a law, a very strong thing. Subject can never be the object. Object can never be the subject. If it is, we say, the kartru karma virodha. The whole teaching is based on this thing. Now you say, Brahman is the subject. Brahman is the object. Then the kartru karma dosha comes. He jumps and comes and tells. So jiva is the knower, Brahman is the known. They are different. Then Shankara has to say, yes, kartru karma dosha will be there. That is why Brahman need not know. Brahman does not know. Brahman need not know. Brahman cannot know. Know means what? There is no object. There is no object. When you say Brahman knows means what? Knowing is not an action. Knowing is not an action. Knowing is the swarupam. Got it? Knowing is not an action. Knowing is the swarupam. I tell you the example, another example. One example I have already given. Knowing is not an action. Knowing is the swarupam. Therefore, Brahman, there is no kartru karma virodha. Of course, the knower is Brahman, the known is Brahman. But subject object division is not there. Therefore, there is no dosha. That's Shankara's argument. Because knowing is not an action here. If you say, I know mango, then you were, the knower of mango is different from the mango. Mango is different from the knower of mango. Subject object division is there. Definitely. But here, you said Brahman is the knower, Brahman is the known. Kartru karma virodha is not there because knowing is not an action. Second thing, knowing is only resolution of the superimposition of anatma prapancha upon Brahma. This is what is knowing. So another example if I can give, if I say light illumines the opaque things. So light is the illuminated subject. The opaque thing is illumined object. The subject-object difference comes. But still, the opaque thing is not something different from the light. No way. If opaque thing can be there without the light, then the light comes from somewhere else. Opaque thing is sitting here and illuminates the light, illuminates the opaque thing, then you can say we're different. I'll tell you. Opaque light is the illuminator, opaque thing is the illumined. Between light and the opaque thing, there is a subject-object division. There is no illuminator-illumined division. You know why? If opaque thing shines independent, opaque thing exists independently without the light being around, and the light comes newly from that place and then illumines the opaque thing, then you can say there's difference. The opaque thing doesn't exist at all if there's no light. Opaque thing exists only when there's a light. Therefore, you can't say the difference. Even that may be difficult thing for you to understand. But the best example is this, we understand. Knowledge here, knowing is not an action. Knowing is the swarupam. In fact, we arrive at the very reality itself in terms of its nature of knowing. And one thing is, after arriving at the reality, we only cognitively, intellectually resolve the superimposition of the anatma prapanchaha upon Brahma. Isn't it? This is what is jnana. Therefore, there is no subject-object dosha. Kartru-karma virodha is not there. But you can say what? The one who enjoys the status of being the knower is also Brahma. That which is here enjoying the status of being the known is also Brahma. The standpoint of Brahma, there is no knower known division. Bhartru Prapanchas, he has been answered. Okay, finished. It is close his subject, topic. We'll move on. Now, next. And after this, now one more important thing. Before we learned Vidya Sutram, later we have Avidya Sutram also is there. Before even going there, let me tell you here. See, the mantra which we read next to, afterwards. So devas, whoever have this jnanam, they become Brahma. Thereby they become everything. Again, becoming everything means what? Becoming everything also. See, just seeing the fact of the self being the only self of everything is appreciating. It's a cognitive appreciation of the self being the only self of everything is becoming everything. Not like you go and become everything. Chair jumps and becomes a table. Not like that. Seeing the fact of only the self being the only self of everything is becoming everything. So the devas who know this Brahma, they become everything. Devas who attain the knowledge of manushyas, the human beings who attain the knowledge of Brahman become everything. Rishis who have knowledge of Brahman also become everything. What does it mean here? Why Upanishad gives this, repeats his mantras? Because see, in performing karma, suppose rishis, manushya, human beings and devas, if they all perform karmas, if you do karma which is not your swadharma, you won't get the phalam. Okay? Whether brahmanaha, kshatriyaha, vaishyaha, shudraha, whoever does the karma, in performing karma, if you do any karma you want to do, you won't get the phalam. You must do what is to be done by you. Your own duty you must do. Then you get the benefit. If you do what is not to be done by you, then you won't get the phalam. So in karma, you can't have the benefit. All the human beings cannot enjoy the fruits of all the actions. No. Whereas in Brahma Jnanam, that problem is not there. You're a Brahmana, you're a Kshatriya, you're a Vaishya, you're a Shudra, doesn't matter who, whether you're Deva, you're a Maharishi Rishihi, you're whoever it is, Manushya, ordinary human being, whoever it is, whoever attains Jnanam, they all can have the benefit of Jnanam in terms of Moksha. There's no difference. See, all the people cannot enjoy the karma phalam equally. Whereas moksha is something non-preventable. Whoever has jnanam, they can have the moksha. Jnana phalam is the same for everybody. Karma phalam is not the same for everybody. Jnana phalam in terms of moksha is the same. Rishis, devas, manushyas, whoever it is, jnana phalam is the same. Whereas karma phalam will be different. Now I'm a kshatriya. I do brahmana karma. I won't get the phalam. I won't get the phalam. Okay, I can't do it properly. So what karma you do? Isn't it? Which what means is, everybody cannot do everything same and then get the same phalam. Even if we do some simple cooking work, even a simple act of cooking, my cooking will be different from others' cooking. The phalam will be different. So every curve, there will be difference in performance of action. There will be difference in the phalam. And then the person who enjoys, performs the karma, gets the phalam, that phalam will be different. So karma phalam, the result of actions performed by the people can never be the same, different. Whereas moksha phalam will be, jnana phalam will be the same. That is why it is made very clear, doesn't matter whoever it is, a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Rishi, an ordinary human being, or Devas, whoever has this jnanam, they will all have this benefit of, take ownership of moksha as their surupam if they discover Brahma. Why? Because Brahma is a word implying the only reality, which is the only self of all the beings. What is the Atma of Devas, self of Devas? Brahma. What is the self of Manishas? Brahma. What is the self of Rishis? Brahma. What is the self of animals? Brahma. What is the self of all the beings? Brahma. What is the truth of even non-living things? Brahma. The Atma, only self, the only truth of all the beings is what? Implied with the term Brahma. Therefore, in knowing, whoever discovers Brahma, they can never discover Brahma as an object. Is it clear? Whoever discovers Brahma, how that person must discover Brahma only as their own self, as the very truth of I, as the very swarupam of the subject, the knower. When Brahman is discovered, please listen to me carefully. When the reality is arrived at, discovered, Brahman is object of discovery or subject of discovery. When Brahman is discovered, how is this discovered? Is it arrived as an object or as the subject? Brahman is discovered as the swarupam of the discoverer, the subject. So the reality implied by the term Brahma, obtaining in the form of consciousness, is arrived at only as the swarupam of the knower, subject. Therefore, you cannot say Brahman is the object. If the object known is different from the knower, then you can say subject-object division. Brahman becomes kartu-karma-virodha. But here Brahman, which is arrived at, is the very swarupam of the knower, in which the very knower status is resolved later on, is what? Free from? Is not an object. Is it clear? How do you arrive at the reality? Reality is arrived at only as the surup of the knower, I. And having arrived at the reality, you resolve the very knower status in the very reality. And where is the object? After knowing which the very knower status is resolved, that reality is not an object. There is no kartru karma virodha. If it is not very clear, please ask me, okay? I don't want to waste your time. So whoever knows it, so Shastra makes it very clear. Because reality being, the very truth of every being, there cannot be a Rishi, there cannot be a human being, there cannot be a Deva, there cannot be an animal, there cannot be anything without the reality. And reality, this reality is what is implied by the word Brahma. And that reality, implied by the term Brahma, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, you only arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing as what? As the swarupam of the knower subject. Whoever discovers, they must discover this Brahman as their own swarupam. They can never arrive at Brahman as an object of knowledge. Because Brahman is not an object of knowledge. That is why we need a unique pramanam called Shastram, Vedanta. I think we would have known easily through our own sense organs, somehow. Like our scientists are very smart. How much they work, how much they discover today's. All our scientists are amazingly brilliant people. They would have already long ago they would have discovered and they would have informed. No, not an object. Reality is not an object, not the subject. Reality is the very truth or subject and the object. Therefore, knowing the reality is, there's no kartru karma virodha. Because reality is there, arrived at as the swarupam of the knower, which is non-different from the knower. The swarupam, the truth, which is non-different from the knower. Therefore, there is no kartru karma virodha. There is no subject object defect here. That is why all of them can have the same benefit. Jnana phalam will be the same for all the people. Karma phalam will differ from person to person. Which means, they cannot have the phalam, even if they do something, which is not their dharma. That is the nature of the karma phalam. Whereas jnana phalam will be the same. I have, in Kena class, other classes I repeated many times, repeated this one thing. Reality has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing as the swarupam of the knower, the subject. After having arrived at the reality as the swarupam of the knower, now tell me, what is the distance between the knower and the swarupam? the known Swarupam. There is no distance between the knower and the known Swarupam. It exactly like what? Illuminator light and the light. Illuminator and the light. What is the distance? Illuminator and the light. What is the distance? Illuminator is light. Can you say illuminator and the light have different object? Is there subject-object division between illuminator and the light? No. Why? Illuminator is only as qualification attributed to the light from the standpoint of the opaque. Between the illuminator and the light, there is no distance or no difference. Illuminator is light. Okay? So light can never become the object of illumination. Light can never become the object of illumination. Light is not the subject of illumination also. But there is no illuminator other than the light. You arrive at the light as the swarupam of the illuminator. Then resolve the illuminator status in the light cognitively. Understand, there's no subject-object division between illuminator and the light. Is it clear? You can say illuminator is the light. Similarly, you arrive at the reality as the swarupam of the knower. Then you say knower is the reality, Brahma. And because between Brahman, the reality, the consciousness and the knower, there is no distance. There's no difference. There's a subject, kartru karma bheda is not there. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.